This is the Relevant Life Church podcast, where we are about connecting with God, relating to people, and reaching our world. Tune in as our church goes through this week's teaching in God's Word.
Do you sense God's presence this morning? I hope so. I hope so. It's not the coffee that I drank. It's Jesus. Maybe a little bit of the coffee. Anybody had a cup of coffee this morning? Maybe you need to have another cup of coffee. Who needs another cup of coffee? Come on, let's serve the coffee so we get some excitement here. Good to see you today. I'm glad that you're here. I'm excited to be in church. I love Jesus. How about you? Yes. You know that chant that you used to do there? Anne Marie's got it. She was going to do that the cheer back, going, I love Jesus. How about you? I love Jesus. How about you? Right? I love Jesus more. Who loves Jesus more today? Come on, right, I love it. Good, 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 good. We're on the same team. I love it. We're on Team Jesus, and I hope that you sense his presence today. I hope that you're ready to step into the Word of God, okay? Because can I tell you, the Word of God is not based upon emotion and feeling. God is not based upon emotion and feeling. Can I tell you that I think that we've been living far too long amidst 2020 in emotion and feeling and circumstances? How many can say, yeah, you've been buying into some of that? Before I get too far into that, I want to tell you that Connect Groups start Wednesday night. If you're not signed up for Connect Groups, get online today. Go into the church app, sign up for those things. We're going to have a great, great time. And so get in there and get registered. That begins Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And you'll get the link in your email, and you'll be able to just click on the link and join in with us. We want you to be part of those. We're going to have a good time, and we're excited about that. So that begins this Wednesday. Everybody say Connect Groups. Get online and connect today. Do so, would you? I'm excited as we step into 2021. Has anything changed? You know, isn't that that hard thing? You go, okay, I'm looking for a new year and I want new things to happen. Can I tell you today that God, in the midst of a new year, still is a new God. God still has new plans. God still has new purposes. And I just have sensed over the last several months the theme of anchored. Everybody say anchored. The theme anchored flowing in my spirit. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about the topic of being anchored. What does it look like to be anchored? What is that? The title of my message this morning, Anchor, Strong and Secure. So an anchor, as we see here, this anchor, this old style anchor that's obvious to us, anchor that's strong and secure. Everybody say strong. And secure. So that's where we're at today. Is we don't want to be on something that's shifting. We don't want to be on something that's going to let us go. We want something strong. We want something stable. How many need stability in 2021? Can I tell you, our culture is not stable. Our lives have been unstable in the middle of all these circumstances, and we want to step in to stability. I think of going out onto an ocean in the middle of a storm. One, you're not going to really find me in the middle of the ocean someplace because it scares the out of me, right? I can't think about those things. And Rhonda wants to go on a cruise, and I'm going, okay, if it's a floating city, then I might be safe. But then yesterday I tormented myself by watching storm videos of ships in the middle of a storm. Has anybody ever done that? You know, I challenge you. Go on YouTube and watch, type in ships in the middle of a storm, and you see these waves that are 100, I mean, we're talking yards high that are just encapsulating the ships, and the ships come back out of the water. I mean, like, you're not going to catch me on that ship. Not only am I going to be losing my guts, I'm going to be losing everything of me. You know, I'm going to be crawling a corner. I like to watch the storm from the beach. You know, I'm someone that wants the stability of the ground underneath me. You know, I mean, I don't know if you've driven through Depot Bay and you see when those waves, those gigantic waves are splashing over and people are going, oh, it's water and it's getting all over me. But can I tell you, if they're in the middle of the ocean, they're not going to be going, oh, it's water, it's getting all over me. Why? Because they're on the beach, they're on the bank where there's stability and there's foundation. I think of several years ago in the late 1980s when I was like 5 years old. Some of you are getting it, right? I look that young, right? Just tell me. Feed my ego. Ron and I were married, so that would have been a bit awkward at 5 years old. But Ron and I were married, and my brother was visiting us from Canada, and we decided that we were going to take him to the beach, and we went down to Cannon Beach before we had children, and we went up to Akola State Park. Anybody have been to Akola State Park? Probably one of the most beautiful parks on the beach, or on the on the ocean that you can look out over and you see the expanse. And we just happened to arrive at the beach when there is like a major storm taking place. The winds are blowing and trees are bent over and the waves are splashing against the embankment below. And Ron and I and my brother get out of the car and we're like trying to walk to the edge to look over. And it's like Rhonda's being blown back. And so we're like linking arm in arm to try to get to the edge to see what the waves are even doing. The wind was blowing just horrendously in our faces. You know, together we were probably weighed about 600 pounds, but can I tell you, it was nearly impossible to get to that. Have you ever been with the wind, that force of that wind? And I began to imagine as I think of that story right now that what was the intensity on the ocean at that moment? Not just on the bank and stability where I could find security, but what was taking place in the midst of the ocean, the churning of the water and the waves and the wind that was being compounded, that was not stable. A boat was just tossed and turned if there was one that was out there. You know, when we left, we found out on the news just shortly after that they closed the park down because a tree fell, and I actually think that someone actually got injured or died or something as a result of all of that day. We were like stupid. Stupid. Just everybody say stupid. Anybody been stupid? You know, I think about when we think about life, we're just stupid sometimes. But when I think of storms, I think of being tossed, I think of being turned, I think of water that's shifting and changing, I think of the waves that are relentless. They just continue on, they never stop. The waves grow bigger, they grow stronger. And is there anything or anyone that you can hold on to? And I ask you this morning this simple question, what are you anchored to? What's holding you stable in the middle of life? An anchor as a noun is a heavy object. Today I get the privilege of using Jeremiah's anchor up here. If I can figure it out, he goes, do you know how to do this? And I go, well, we'll figure it out. This heavy anchor, one, is made out of something that's stable and strong. So the noun is a heavy object. The verb brings us to a stability and security. So how many know that when we think about an anchor, we need one? Everybody say, I need an anchor. I need this noun in my life. I need something that's heavy and strong, but I need the stability. I need the action of it in my life. And so when we think about this idea of this device, you are out on the water, whether it's on the ocean or whether it's in a lake or whether it's in a river, and you throw out of the boat this anchor to hit the bottom of the water. You want to find a place that it's going to sink into some substance, and as that goes down in and you see on this anchor, this particular one, it's got some teeth on it, some grip on it, but it's going to go into the bed of the water and it's going to hold fast, hopefully, and as the waves come and it pulls against the boat, that begins to work that anchor a little bit deeper and it makes it more solid and more firm. Even though your boat may be moving, even though your boat may be teetering, you're staying in a stable, stationary place. Many of us don't like the teetering of life. Is that correct? You know, we need an anchor. Not only do we need an anchor as you're wanting, oh, great, now I have to use one of these. I feel anxious now. In life, we need anchors. Not only on the water do we need anchors, but in life we need anchors. How many need an anchor? In the middle of adversity, in the middle of 2020, in the middle of COVID, in the middle of political upheaval, in the middle of emotional upheaval, how many can honestly stay with your hand raised this morning? There has been instability in your life. You felt emotionally shaken in life. You've not even necessarily been anchored to something. You've been trying to find something to anchor to. How many would say you're trying to find something to anchor to? You know that God is the anchor, but how many have let go of the rope a little bit?
Think about it in your own life this morning, that there are things in our lives that come and there are things in our lives that go. And we need something that is stable and that is unbreakable. We need something that is going to keep us stationary, something that's going to hold us. I don't know about you, but I'm often looking for something that of security. I want peace around me. Anybody like peace around you? Anybody like your world a little bit calm? Can I tell you that Jesus never promised a calm world? He actually promised the very opposite of a calm world. But he says, in the middle of that uncalm world, I will bring stability in your life. Can I tell you that your anchor and my anchor, our stability in 2020 has been shaken. Our stability has been tugged on. The anchor has been, we're seeing how effective our anchor has been, how effective we have planted our anchor. Have we not? If we would be honest here this morning, I would say that many of us have been shifted by the effects of our culture. Many of us have been impacted. The reality is that every one of us in this place have some sort of an anchor. All of us have some sort of anchor, whether that anchor is money, whether that anchor is a relationship, whether that anchor is a substance, whether that anchor is fame, whether that anchor is an identity in something, we all have some form of an anchor. How many can concur with that? Can I tell you that your stability is only as secure as your anchor? What happens when all your money's gone? Your anchor no longer holds. What happens in the middle of a relationship when the relationship falls apart? No longer is your anchor holding you. What happens when the substance is no longer able to be had and you are losing it on the other side? Can I tell you that we all have an anchor and we all place it someplace in our lives? I'll tell you this, that if you are using something that's instable as an anchor, it's going to make your life unstable. If you planted it in something that is waffly and shaky and can go away, can I tell you today, people in culture today in 2020 have tried to find things to put an anchor into, and it's unstable in their lives because they've not found something that's permanent and something that is sure. Your life is only as strong as what you're holding to. You know, I love the concept of an anchor. I love the concept of this idea that there is something in my life that I can hang on to. There's something in my life that can hold me steady and hold me strong and bring stability in my life. The thing that's amazing to me about an anchor is that the anchor itself does not change the waves. The anchor itself does not change the wind. The anchor itself does not change the intensity of how much the boat is waffling in the water. The anchor is what goes down below all of that and finds stability and holds us in the midst of. I know in my life, I always like the circumstances to be gone. Anybody like the circumstances to be gone? We're stepping into 2021 and everyone's going, God, just take COVID away from me. People are coming in this morning going, can we just get rid of the masks? We want the circumstances to change. What I have learned in my walk with God is not so much about the circumstance changing, is that the circumstance changes me. That God wants to do something in the midst of the circumstance. So I would challenge you, this is not part of the message, but I would challenge you this morning to go, God, if the circumstance is still playing out, whether that's COVID, whether that's anxiety, whether that's emotional unrest, whether that's a relational tension, whatever it may be, God, are you trying to do something in me? Are you trying to change me in the midst of all this? God, what are you wanting to do in me? Can I tell you that the sooner that we as Christians can come and say, okay, God, I humble myself before you. What is it you want me to learn? What's this lesson you're wanting me to walk? God, I don't want to wander for 40 years. How about you? Right? I wonder if the Israelites would have realized in the middle of their 40 years to go, God, we get it. God, forgive us. We get it. Can I tell you, a God who is compassionate, a God who looks for repentance? I can't imagine a God in the middle of 40 years, if the Israelites would have came with humility. Think about it. Would have came with a form of humility to say, God, forgive us for our stubbornness. Can I tell you today, under a better covenant, God's looking for us to come and go, God, forgive me of my stubbornness. Heal me, heal my land, bring stability in my life. I love this idea of an anchor. I want to look at Hebrews chapter 6, a passage of scripture that maybe many of you are familiar with, but I want to read, it's about seven verses there. Hebrews chapter 6, starting with verse 13. It says, when God made his promise, everybody say promise. When God made his promise to Abraham, that promise took place in Genesis chapter 2. I just read it this morning as I'm reading through the Bible. Genesis chapter 22 talks about the promise that God gave Abraham, saying, I will give you a descendants. I will make a great nation out of you. And in this promise, he gave him Isaac, and he's on this process of taking Isaac up on the mountain to sacrifice. And everyone know the story of where Isaac's going to be sacrificed. Abraham walks out that obedience, and he's ready to strike his son in that aspect, and God stops him and provides a ram in the thicket for him to sacrifice. And as a result of all that, God comes to Abraham, and he says, Abraham, I give you my promise. I give you my promise that you will have what I've told you that you're going to have. So that's what this is referring to. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. You know, when you're trying to be serious with someone, go, no, I promise you, I swear, I swear by whatever. God's coming and going, there's no one to swear by that's greater than me. I'm using myself. There's no one that is stable, more stable than I am. There's no one that has more reputation than I do. I'm going to swear by myself. He says, saying, I will surely bless you and I will give you many descendants. And after waiting patiently, everybody say patiently. Can I tell you how long Abraham's patience was? 100 years. And we're sick in 8 months. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Verse 15, 16, people swear by someone greater than themselves, and an oath confirms what is said and puts an end to an argument because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear. Everybody say unchanging. Unchanging nature. I want you to think about that. We're going to tear that apart in another sermon, but I want you to understand unchanging nature of God, of his purpose, very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. Verse 18, God did this so that by two unchangeable things, what were those two unchangeable things? His promise and his oath. His promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of hope that is set before us may be greatly encouraged. We all have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. It enters into the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Can I tell you, when we think about dropping an anchor overboard, we're dropping it to the bedrock, to the bed of an ocean. When we're talking about this spiritual anchor, it's the thing that's going behind the veil in the heavenlies. I want you to realize that it's not just something that's going to be temporal. It's not something that can be shifted. It is a holy, eternal fact that is there that takes us to the heavenlies, that we're held to something that's eternal, not temporal. The author of the Hebrews, he's writing this, he's writing to people who are facing hardship. They're facing persecution in their Christian life. They're being tempted to abandon their Christian faith and go back to Judaism. Have you ever been tempted to stop doing what you know is right and to go back to something that's more comfortable? How about in 2020? Has there anything that you've been tempted to step into that you know that you shouldn't step into? An old pattern of life? Why do we do that? Because it's comfortable. Part of why do you see that these Christians, that why are they being tempted? Well, one of them is they're being tempted because the writer's encouraging them to persevere. They're being killed. They're being imprisoned. The writer's coming back and he's saying, "Don't just feel good. Put your anchor someplace that's good." Can I tell you, in 2020, I've wanted to feel good. How many want to feel good? You step into 2021 and you go, "I want to feel good. I want to feel free. I want to feel these things." And God's going, "It's not about feeling. It's about stability. Put your anchor where the stability is." He uses this metaphor for us in this place in the Bible only is this metaphor of an anchor. The anchor goes into the heavenly place. This hope for our future and our salvation is an anchor that steadies our souls. I think what's revealing to me in 2020 in my own life, you judge for yourself in your own life. That as these circumstances, these storms, these waves have come into my life, it's revealed how temporal of a being that I am. It's revealed to me how temporary things have had my focus rather than eternal things. Where I found my confidence and I found identity in temporal things. Anybody noticing that in your life? Don't waste this experience in your life. Don't just long for freedom from the mask. Don't just long for freedom from COVID. Long for freedom in Jesus. Can you step out of you and step into him? As you're seeing this evidence in your life, walk into a place of obedience. So God, I deny this. God, I put this away from me in the name of Jesus. Sermon in a sentence. What you are anchoring to makes all the difference. With Jesus, we have an anchor for every storm. What you are anchoring to makes all of the difference. With Jesus, we have an anchor for every storm. Every storm. Regardless of what that storm looks like, our anchor can be Jesus, and he can hold us strong and hold us secure and hold us steady. Today, I want to give you three reasons that we need an anchor. We need an anchor, number one, because storms are inevitable. Everybody say inevitable. Hardship is going to come. Storms are going to come. Storms are there. Anybody, you know, we go out of one storm and into another storm, and you might have a little bit of reprieve, but you're going to have another storm. The storms of life are all around us. Roger Crawford says this, being challenged in life is inevitable, but being defeated is optional. I want you to hear that phrase this morning. Being challenged by the storms of life. It's inevitable. Storms are going to come. Storms are going to happen. Waves are going to hit your boat. The winds are going to toss and they're going to turn you. And some are going to experience waves and storms much more different than mine. Maybe you've gone through a storm of divorce where your family has been shattered. Maybe you've gone through a storm of someone committing suicide in your life. Maybe you're going through a storm where you've lost someone who has been very, very close to you and has sent you into upheaval in your life. Can I tell you that our storms, it's not a fact of comparing our storms to one another. It's not coming and going, okay, well, my storm is worse than your storm. No, it doesn't matter whose storm is worse. Storms are inevitable. Your defeat or your success is optional. Are you going to make it when it's done? Usually in the physical storms that we see, thunderstorms and lightning storms and wind storms, we have forewarning. How many ever look on your weather app or you listen to the news to go, okay, there's a storm coming. Batten down the hatches. Keep everything safe. Right? But how many have realized in the middle of life, there's not a forewarning? March of 2020, all of a sudden, COVID has arrived in Oregon and our life is unstable. How many have discovered that in life? That a storm in your personal life, not a practical storm, not a physical storm, but a storm, a spiritual storm or a storm of circumstances comes on without any warning. The trials and the circumstances of life often come out of nowhere. And when they do, they leave us shocked. They leave us overwhelmed. They leave us stunned. They leave us numb, angry, hurt, disappointed, heartbroken. Have you ever been there? How many can say that some of those have been adjectives that have described a little bit of your life over the last few months? When we hear the idea of trials and circumstances, we don't automatically come to a place of, oh, peace. Right? I'm going to have peace in the middle of all this. I want to remind you that as the writer is writing to the book of the people in Hebrews, he's writing to them that the theme over the book of Hebrews is this word persevere. Everybody say persevere. Persevere. This word endure. You know, if you've watched Dory or Finding Nemo, and she just, her phrase in there is what? Just keep swimming. right? Can I tell you that that's probably the theme song for the book of Hebrews? Just keep swimming. Just keep persevering. Endure. Endure. That's what the writer's coming back and going. He's saying storms are inevitable. Life is going to happen. If you're not holding on to the right anchor, your life is going to be topsy-turvy. Your life is going to be shattered. John Phillips said this, trials and storms are not electives in God's school. They are required courses. When we go to school, aren't the electives usually the ones that are more fun? They're not the required ones that you have to worry about. They're the electives. Back in my day, electives was shop, and electives were pottery and basket weaving or what. I don't know, remember, but I mean, they don't have all those electives necessarily today, I don't think, unless you pay for them, charge for them. Can I tell you today, when we talk about electives, this writer says, trials and storms are not electives in God's school. They are required courses. Sooner or later, testings will come. The Christian who lives his life thinking that all will be easy and smooth sailing is in for a shock. Your life is going to be shattered when the storm comes. Storms are inevitable. Jesus said in John chapter 16, he says, I've told you these things so that in me, everybody say in him you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I was looking at this passage of scripture this morning and you go, well, that's not good news. Who finds trouble is good news, but there's bad news in this passage, but there's good news in it because it says, in the middle of these storms, in the middle of these troubles, I've come, I'm going to give you peace, and the reason I can give you peace is that I've already overcome everything that's on the planet. He's already overcome COVID. He's already overcome what you're experiencing right now. He's experienced it himself. He's going, if you'll hold on to me, I'm the anchor. Storms happen to everyone. Number two, we need an anchor because our hearts tend to drift. Our hearts tend to drift. We have a tendency to drift away from what we know is right. Can I tell you that in the middle of calm water, it's just as dangerous as it is in the middle of violent water? It's important that in the middle of calm water that you anchor yourself as well, because even though the water looks calm and the surface of the water looks great, there's still an undertow that's taking place. I think of an illustration. You know, my experience with anchors is not very vast, but we go to Cultus Lake up in Central Oregon. Anybody been to Cultus Lake, the most beautiful lake in Oregon? Don't go there because we don't want it crowded when we go there. Just kidding. But we love to go there and see the beauty and see the clearness of the water, but we go out on our float tubes and you get out there and whether the water's calm or whether it's not, the natural tendency is to drift back to the beach. So we're like going, no, we don't want to drift back. It takes too much effort. We're on vacation and we want to relax. So rather than having to get back out there, we come up with what we call an anchor. It's just a weight that we throw over the edge and tie our tubes to. That's my experience. But can I tell you that in the middle of Cultus Lake, even with that anchor that is not stable enough, we still drift. Can I tell you that we as human beings, we have a tendency to drift? We can call it sin in our lives, this underlying temptation that rides within each of us. And I've realized in my own life that it's not necessarily a fast turn of me going from God to coldness. It's a slow process. How many have discovered that in your own life? Oh, well, God will forgive me if I don't do that. Oh, if I think about that once. If I entertain that just one time. Oh, God, you get it. You know what I'm talking about? That slowness in our lives that brings us in the comfortability of life of going, well, no, I learned that in the hardship of COVID, but, you know, as it gets comfortable again, are we going to let up? The slow fade in our lives. I think what alarms me the most in the midst of COVID is the drifting that I've seen in the Church of Jesus Christ, not just nationwide, not just in Oregon, but also at Relevant Life Church, the drifting that has taken place. We're not just talking, yes, it's been a pretty violent storm, but there's been drifting. People have drifted from God. They've gotten to a place of comfortableness of 8 months into it, 9 months into it. They're going, I don't need church. I haven't been to church for 9 months, so why do I need to go? It's not convenient to watch online, so I'm just not going to watch. But I love Jesus. Maybe some of you even thought that. Maybe some of you even felt that way. Can I tell you today, drifting is a natural product of our lives. Drifting, because we are sinful in our beings, because underlying within us, there's something that draws at us. What I don't want to do, Paul says, I do.
The writer of Hebrews comes with a warning. Writer of Revelations, he comes with a warning. Revelations chapter 2, he says, nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. You've drifted from what you knew was right. He's writing to a church that loved God. He's writing to a church that was passionate about God. It's a church that's labeled as one of the seven churches in the end times that says, this is a solid church, but you once were solid, but you have now drifted. Can I tell you that in our lives, we can easily drift. I hate to say it, in my own life, I've recognized, and I'm coming back, and I have come back, and I'm determining once again, just like I know you are determined once again. But in the middle of COVID, I've drifted. I've drifted from purpose. I've drifted from clarity. I've drifted from steadfastness. I've made excuses for myself. Anybody make excuses for yourself? Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen. In times like this, when you begin to drift, would you remember what you were saved from? Would you look at the world around you and realize that you could be just as bad as they are? I don't mean that in good and bad, but you could be in the middle of the crud that they're in the middle of. You could be sinking like you see these people around you. At least you have Jesus in your life. Do you sometimes just look at culture today and go, at least I have Jesus in my life. I know there's hope. I know there's eternity. I'm not living for today. We need an anchor, first of all, because storms are inevitable. We need an anchor, secondly, because we tend to drift. And lastly, we need an anchor, because even if God is silent, he's still in control. Even if God's quiet, he's still in control. Whether it's stormy or whether it's not, God's still in control. Talking with someone this last week, and they came to me and said, Pastor Kevin, I just can't hear God. How many are struggling to hear God in the middle of the wind? God, are you there? It's where we have to come back to the faith in the anchor that we have, not the physical anchor, but the anchor that is in the heavenlies, behind the veil, and cling to the anchor by faith to say, God, you're there. I know you're there. I don't feel you. I don't see you. I don't sense you, but I know you're there. Just like we came this morning and said, it's not an emotion that we say holy and worthy. It's a response to who he is. It's a recognition that he's there. We need to know what we believe, because life will challenge our belief systems. Can I tell you, probably if you're not come with a purpose in the middle of 2021 as you started, probably the purpose that I would challenge you to is, would you come to a conviction and a belief system of who God is in your life, regardless of the circumstances? Would you go back to the Word of God and find out the character of God? Would you find out who he is? Would you rediscover him in the middle of the storm? Mark chapter 4 says this. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up. We're talking a serious storm. And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped, meaning that it was filling with water and it was going to sink. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion, and the disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Can I tell you that that's been a response of some? Probably even been my response 10 times, some, probably throughout the last couple months, going, God, don't you care that I'm drowning right now? God, don't you care? God, don't you recognize?
Verse 39 says, he got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. I want you to realize that up to this point, the disciples had walked with Jesus for a while. Up to this point, they had seen miracles, they had seen deliverances, they had seen healings. And they're still at the end of this dialogue going, who is this guy? Even the wind and the wave obey him. The key that I want you to understand here is the writer Mark. He makes it very obvious that Jesus is in the boat with them. When you look through here, there's several times where he says, Jesus says, let us go over. So Jesus was present. A little further down in verse 36, it says, and they took him along, meaning they took Jesus along. Right after that, it says, and he was in the boat, meaning Jesus was in the boat. And other boats were with him, meaning that other boats were with Jesus who was in the boat. And verse 38 makes it very obvious, and Jesus was in the stern asleep. Can I tell you that if you're a follower of Christ this morning, if you're living for Jesus, Jesus is in your boat. Jesus is in the boat, whether you feel like you're losing it or not. Jesus is the one who can rebuke the storm in your life. And I'm even going to say this a little bit further. A New Testament principle is you have the authority to rebuke your own storm in your life. Do you believe it this morning? He didn't leave us helpless. Quiet, be still. Rediscovering who Jesus is in your boat. Coming back to his character, realizing that when he's silent, he's still present. And even in his presence of who he is, in his character, in his righteousness, in his justice, his power, his holiness, worthy is the Lamb of God. Come on, church. When we step back and we realize that when he's quiet, it doesn't mean his character is gone. There are times in life it doesn't feel like God's paying very much attention. I found a song this week by Skillet. I don't necessarily listen to him all the time, but I like the song called Anchor. How many have ever heard the song by Skillet called Anchor? If not, I encourage you to go listen to it. I'm going to read the words to you. Drifting beneath the horizon, my body is weak, but I'm trying to make it to shore, but I'm falling short. I need you more. Wave after wave, I've been sinking. So unto your promise, I'm clinging. You say that I'm strong. To you, I belong. Keep holding on. The chorus goes, you are my anchor, so steady me now. You are my anchor, you're keeping my feet on the ground. In angry oceans, you've never broken through. Every wave of the storm, you are my anchor, so steady me now. How many can come and say, God, I need you to steady me? The next verse goes on and says, when I get tired of finding all of the fears I've been hiding, you gave me a breath. And tell me to rest. You've never left. I can hear you calling me by name. Can I tell you, when you step in to the recognition that God is in the boat, even though you don't sense him, you will hear a whisper going, Kevin, I'm here. When you quiet yourself, the presence of God invades the quiet. When you shield yourself from all the winds and the waves, God is there. Goes on and says, pulling me up from under my shame. I'll never be the same. I can face anything. So go ahead and let it rain. Can I tell you that when you know Christ is in the boat, you can say, come on, storm, bring it on. It's not just me you're blowing around. I'm stuck to Jesus. How many can say, bring it on? Can I tell you that we're a little bit apprehensive to go, okay, bring it on. I want another year of this. But can I tell you that when God is in the boat, when we're anchored, it doesn't matter what storm comes. I want to remind you of the one who created the ocean. I want to remind you of the one who created the depths of the sea. I want to remind you of the one who has the power, who created the wind and every force of a storm that comes. Can I tell you that that is not the enemy that created those things? God himself has created all of those elements. He is God of the storm. And we've got to come to a place of remembering in Hebrews 13:5 as I close, that Jesus himself, or it says of Jesus, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Can I tell you today, this anchor is something that is sure. This something that is in the heavenlies, that in a moment of time, just like we did today, we just have to reach up and grab hold of the chain to say, God, I'm anchored behind the veil because you're behind the veil. I'm stable. I'm secure. I feel the emotions. I feel the wind. I feel the circumstances. But Jesus, I'm secure. I want to end with this statement. Jesus can be trusted in the storm. I've learned, whether I like it or whether I don't like storms. Anybody like storms? I don't like storms. I love Oregon, but I hate the rainstorms. I don't like storms. I don't like storms in my life. I don't like to be inconvenienced. Anybody tired of the inconvenience of storms in your life? Trials and tribulations and learning. Anybody just get exhausted and go, can't we just get there yet? I don't like the inconvenience of it. But man, I'm endeavoring to say, Jesus, I trust you in the middle of my inconvenience. I trust you in the middle of my pain. I trust you in the middle of the storm. God, I want to plug into you. So questions for you this morning as we apply this. Three statements. Number one is stay or get in the boat. Can I tell you, don't bail. The writer of Hebrews is saying, persevere, stay in the boat. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't leave the boat. Don't leave the boat. Don't leave the boat. Don't leave the vessel. I'm in the boat. And maybe you're here this morning and you're going, Pastor Kevin, I need to get in the boat. Can I tell you, it's as simple as saying, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I need to get in the boat. You're in the boat, God. I want to be in the boat you're in. I want to be in the boat. Can I tell you, as I think of the story in Matthew and Mark, how many would rather have been in Jesus' boat than a boat that was over on the other side? At least Jesus was in your boat, right? Yes, they experienced the peace of the storm, but Jesus was in their boat. I want Jesus in my boat. And what's amazing about that is if Jesus is in your boat and he calms your life, can I tell you the peace that's in your life is going to overlap onto someone else's life? Not only do we need to stay or get in the boat, we need to trust in the anchor. This anchor is not a piece of metal that I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jesus. God made an oath. He made a promise to us. And he swore by himself, no greater being. And lastly, my challenge, persevere in the storm. You may be tempted to give up. I'm honest with you. I've wanted to give up. I've wanted to quit certain things. I've told you this before, in the middle of COVID, don't quit in the middle of a crisis. Don't quit life in the middle of a crisis. Don't drift away from God in the middle of a crisis. Don't realize even if he's quiet, he's still there, and his character holds behind the veil. Come on, church. We as Christians need to be stable. We need to come to a place of going, yes, I feel weak in my humanity, but he is strong in his godness. He's the one. I love the song that we're going to sing, and then I'm going to pray. Come on, let's do it. Christ alone.
When darkness seems to hide.
Come on, stand to your feet. Let's sing it today.
I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale.
His anchor, come on.
My anchor holds with me.
Come on, sing When Darkness Seems one more time.
Oh, when darkness seems to hide his face.
Come on, lift your hands. Yes. You are the Lord of all. God, today we come and we surrender our hearts to you. We surrender our minds to you. We surrender our emotions to you. Come on, church. Our anchor holds with behind the veil. Our Christ, our anchor is Christ Jesus. Maybe you are here this morning and you are struggling. Maybe you're here today and you're not in the boat. Maybe you have attempted to get in the boat and you're not in the boat. And I want to pray with you this morning. If you're here today and you will lift your hand saying, Pastor Kevin, I want to get in the boat. I need to make sure my boat, I am in the right vessel. That's you today. Would you lift your hands? Thank you. Thank you. Online this morning, if that is you, that you need to get in the boat, you need to recognize that Jesus needs to be the Lord of your life. You need to get in the right vessel. Would you pray this prayer with me today? Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Help me to walk in ways that please you. Help me to walk away from old patterns. Help me to live righteous before you. God, I thank you that you love me. And I thank you that you love me the way that I am. But God, you love me too much to leave me that way. God, change me. Transform me. In Jesus' name, amen. God, in the name of Jesus, for every person that has prayed that prayer this morning, God, I pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding, God, would surround their heart and their mind. God, would you cause them to sense your presence within them? God, today, for every person who is experiencing the storms of life that are inevitable, God, you are a God that sees every heart and every life. God, we come in the middle of these storms, and God, we surrender to the God of the storm. God, would you help us to learn what we need to learn? God, would you bring us through these trials and these tribulations? God, you are faithful. If that's you this morning, would you say, God, teach me what I need to learn? Whether it's COVID or whether it's something else in your life, circumstances are happening. God, would you help us to be what you want us to be? Shape us. God, those that are here today, those that are online that have drifted, lift your voice for those that have drifted, would you? God, where their hearts have grown cold, where God, where their purpose has grown weak, and God, they are lax in their determination to follow you. God, today I pray, would you bring a hunger and a thirst for your word? God, would you bring a deep desire for you, a passion for your for what is eternal more than what is temporal? And God, today, those that are hearing the silence of your voice, help them to discover your character. God, I hate the term prove yourself to them, but God, would you show up in their life? God, you love us so much. And God, I know that Jesus spoke to an unbelieving generation that wanted to see a sign, but God, sometimes we just need to see your hand at work. God, would you whisper to us? God, would you quiet us? Help us to quiet ourselves to hear your voice. In the name of Jesus, in Christ alone, in Christ alone. God, we put our trust in you. Come on, say that today. Jesus, I put my trust in you. Come on, Jesus, I put my trust in you. Jesus, I put my trust in you. Amen and amen.
Here at Relevant Life Church, it's our mission to see people connect with God, relate to one another, and reach our world. This single statement drives everything we do as a church. Our hope is that today you were encouraged in this. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.